gonna vote for Donald Trump. Well, it's Saturday, and I was not able to tune in to ABL Live, which is something I love to do while I'm cooking and cleaning and getting other stuff done. And that was because he is busy, along with other people that I follow online, for a Blexit event at the White House. Yes, and I got to see all the photos online that everybody was sharing, and it was so inspiring to see them all in their blue t-shirts with their flags, backing the blue, and singing patriotic songs, and letting the world know that they are not about this defund the police business, and that their voices need to be heard too. Candace Owens was in the crowd, Officer Tatum, and many more. And one of the things that was easy to see in all the images shared was the diversity. You saw black people, you saw white people, you saw Latinos. No matter what their background was or the color of their skin, the one thing they all had in common was their love of America and that they support the President of the United States, as they should. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could go to the White House, period. Maybe one day. In the meantime, I'm home and I'm chatting with you. So if you want to listen, stay here. So had ABL been streaming tonight, I would have been able to call in, which is hard to do because the lines are always busy and I keep trying. But I wanted to get some things off my chest regarding the debate. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Many of us were probably dying to vent. And we have to wait until next Wednesday because the way things are going, you know, it's just so hard to talk about these things with the people that you know in real life unless they share your political views. And if they don't, well, it's just best to keep your opinions to yourself. And one of the things that I was thinking about when I was watching the debate was how they brought up the subject of fracking. And of course, it's not something that I was familiar with and not a term you hear every day. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself here, but if I asked 10 people what fracking is, maybe not all 10 of them would know the answer to that question. But in any event, so look it up, you find out what it is, and then you realize that if they ban this practice, that a lot of people would be out of work. And if you watch the debate, you know that Pence asked Kamala to, or mentioned that they, the Biden campaign, or her, or him, or both, whatever, they were against it. They were going to stop it. And in the debate, they said that that was not the case. And then later you see footage of them clearly saying that they were going to ban it. So they weren't for it, now they're for it. And one of the words that I think Biden used when he said he was going to get rid of it or keep it was guaranteed. So he flip-flopped after guaranteeing something before an audience, which means there were witnesses. And it's also on video. So what are you supposed to think when someone says something like that and then now they have an opposite opposition on the matter? Which brings me back to Trump every time, because say what you want about the man or what you think about the man or what you don't like about the man. But has he flopped on anything? Has he said something about one thing and then changed his mind? He's been pretty clear about everything from the beginning, and you don't have to agree with it, but his opinion doesn't change, does it? Now, let's be fair, right? I say that a lot because I try to see things from both sides and also apply, you know, to situations in real life. Are you a hypocrite if you change your mind about something? In this case, a policy, because they're politicians, so it's those are the things that are on the table, policies. No, I don't think so. Because I know that I've changed my mind about things that I thought one way about 20 years ago, and I have a totally different viewpoint today. And I credit that to living life, experiencing some things, being mature, gaining some wisdom in the process. and things look very differently from your rearview mirror. So I don't think you're a hypocrite if you thought one way about something and then you think another now. But you have to also take into account the timing of that change of heart. Did you say something differently a couple of months ago or even a year ago, and now you change your tune? That is suspect. So yeah, if they 20 years ago thought fracking was the devil and now they think it's the best thing on earth, okay, I can see that. But then, if you're going to change your mind about an issue, which you are entitled, and like I said, I don't think it makes you a hypocrite, you have to tell me why. So when she says that they are not going to do away with fracking after all, she needs to clarify why. Maybe say, well, yes, we were against it at this time, but then we did some research and we found out that there was another way to do it that would still keep Americans, you know, employed and still whatever the reasons are. Or say, we are for it now because XYZ, give me a reason. I can tell you why I have a change of heart about a position than I felt differently about before. So the fact that they not only change their position on a particular issue, much less explain why they came to that decision or realization, makes me wonder. Shouldn't it make everyone wonder? It's like we know Trump is for law enforcement. We hear this all the time. He's for law and order. There's no question or doubt about that. He's also for America. America first. Make America great again. Which people think means make America white again, but that's not true. But anyway, if he were to say something totally different that, you know, doesn't go again, you know, like if he was all of a sudden back in the riots and cool with the riots, everybody would be like, what the hell? That is not, you know, what you said before. You would want an explanation as to why. So we don't get an explanation, and we're just supposed to take their word for it when they said they were for something, and then we're supposed to take their word for it when they say they're against it. And there's no in between. Or rather, there is no explanation as to why. Which is strange, because I can tell you why I feel differently about something today that I had a complete opposite view about, like I said, 20 years ago. Probably in detail. There was probably an incident or an experience or something that made me see the light. Maybe I read up on it. You know, I learned more about the subject. It wasn't what I thought it was. A million reasons. But they don't give you those reasons, and they just tell you this is what we're going to do, and this is what we said, even though that's not what they said. And I find it very bizarre that they would take such a different position on something that's on video, with them saying the complete opposite. So we've reached a point where now we can say whatever we want, and it doesn't matter if we said something differently a month ago and it's on video. I can see people ignoring stuff from 20 years ago, maybe, but it wasn't that long ago that they were saying they were against the fracking. And I think there is a difference between not supporting someone because you don't like what they have on their agenda, and you know that those are things that you cannot vote for, versus someone who did say they were something but is not for something, which is the same, which is what flip-flopping is all about. So let's say you're with the Biden team because you wanted them to ban the fracking. Well, now they say they're not going to ban the fracking. So you're still going to vote for them now even though they changed their mind? If that's something that matters to you? I don't know, because like I said, what the freak is fracking? It means something to a lot of people, and it came up in the debate for a reason. So now you know that your candidate, if that's Biden, he says that he... Oh, wait a minute, I got it now. You know they're lying. You know that they are going to put an end to it, and that's why you're voting for them. Ugh, I'm slow this evening. Something else I used to do on Saturday nights before the pandemic and all the shows got canceled was watch Saturday Night Live. I really enjoyed it a lot. I watched it for years and years and years. I grew up watching it. I look forward to it. The cast has changed over the years, but it was fun to see the guests and the performers, you know, when they did come on there. And depending on who that was, the show would be really good, and sometimes it would fall flat, but either way, there was always a sketch or two that was crazy or silly or ridiculous. And I'm not going to take any of that away from them, because I did enjoy it while it lasted, but once COVID hit and a lot of things went off the air, and I understand the show is back on, and Chris Rock was on there, and he was saying some stupid stuff about the president, saying that I guess he caught COVID, and I think he called the president the virus. I don't know. I can take a joke, but it's not about them poking fun at him. It's just that it's the incessant, you know, criticism or insults or whatever that they always hurl his way. If Biden was getting, you know, some of that action, okay, but it doesn't seem to be the case. I became aware of how the media was mostly liberal and all of Hollywood. And then I started to see things differently, right? Because then I would notice how they were using their platform to always throw in, you know, a jab here or there, or always politics, 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 you know? And never anything positive in terms of, you know, being a conservative or anything that the president has done. And I know that they have impersonated all the presidents, and that they always made fun of Clinton and his affair with Monica, and they always had someone play Bush. But the thing is that when Alec Baldwin plays Trump, it's not as lighthearted as all the others for some reason, and I never really found it funny. And I guess if you are not a Trump supporter, you might see the humor in it, and maybe, but even before I knew anything about politics or began paying attention, I never really liked his impression, and I was always tired of how they would, you know, as usual, paint him out to be the bad guy and Hillary as being the, you know, the better person or what have you. And I suppose all these shows are slowly coming back, because if Chris Rock was performing, I think, before a live audience, and slowly but surely those live recording type shows will be, you know, allowing people again. I'm not sure how that works out, but I think that's what I heard, that he had an audience there that night. Some things that I thought were ridiculous that they didn't have to do with the VMAs and the Emmys. I think that's the one where Kimmel and Anderson had some kind of like intro and made fools of themselves. Like all those talk shows, I'm sure that they are, I don't know, they're still going on, but just from their homes. I don't know, because I don't watch any TV anymore. Ever since this all happened, I could care less. And I hear people who were into sports say the same. So they had already stopped watching because the games were off. And then all the social justice stuff came in, and then they really stopped watching. Which reminds me, apparently the NBA has seen their lowest ratings ever. And the commissioner of the NBA said that they will not be having the logos and the, I guess, the jerseys and what have you in the court. And I'm thinking, I can't believe that these, you know, executives, these high-level executives or owners or people in charge, they didn't see this coming. You know, they didn't figure out that this might be the outcome, especially when they have, you know, profits to think about. And all I can think of is that they went along with this because they thought it was going to bring in money, because they thought that it would represent every single person watching. They didn't think they were going to alienate anyone at all. I find that really strange. Because you can't think that everybody agrees with everything that's going on, right? So the fact that they did it, maybe they were hoping for the best. Maybe they thought they were going to get canceled if they didn't put BLM stuff out there. Who knows? Because in my heart of hearts, I find it difficult to believe that they were genuine or sincere when they went through all of that. And then somebody pointed out, why the heck do they have to do the activism on the court? Why could they do that on their time off? Because as you know, people tune in to get their mind off of stuff. So when LeBron James isn't playing, when they're off season, he couldn't keep his fist up then. he has to do it when he's playing, because that's when he's seen and that's when he can make an impact. Okay. But how about you put your fist down and maybe, I don't know, invest in the neighborhoods that need it most? I have no clue where he puts his money, if he has any philanthropic organizations that we're not aware of, or charity. But maybe less time kneeling and more time putting your money where your mouth is, if that makes sense. And if he is already doing that, let's just say he's pouring millions into things that help the inner city kids or poor communities or the black people that are hunted down, as he says, then great, that's what's going to help. Then you don't even need to be kneeling at all, because you got it covered. That's my opinion. And the fact that they're going to do away with all the social justice stuff in the court, that's all well and good, but I still want to know, are they going to kneel? Are they going to still be hating on the anthem? Are they still going to be doing that? Because that's still not going to fly with lots of fans. So I'm curious to know. If even if the court looks exactly as it did pre-BLM, are they still kneeling? Guess we'll have to wait and see. And you know, it would be one thing if we only had all this crazy drama during election year because people want to vote for who they want to vote. And that would be, you know, why everything is upside down, because they want Trump out and you know how everybody feels, blah, blah, blah. But it's another when they've been behaving like spoiled brats since 2016 when he won the election. And we haven't had a moment of peace since. If only the man could do his job when he was, you know, put in office, and only now began the craziness as it did that year when he won. Yeah, it would be different. But no, we've had this nonsense from the beginning, before the pandemic, before BLM. And Nancy doesn't let a day go by that she's not trying to figure out a way to get him out of there. The biggest thing was the impeachment very recently, just before the virus. And now her recent thing is to defund the hospital that took care of him when he got sick. And trying to invoke the 25th Amendment, which people are saying is not so much about him. It's a way to get Biden out, because that's their plan. I don't know. This whole thing is a disaster. And it's pretty scary when you think about her. And they say that Trump is the one that hates everybody. And she goes up there on that podium and she's filled with nothing but hate. And it's so clear to see. And she just won't put her differences aside and do what needs to be done. Because if you think that you're the better person, and you think that, you know, Trump doesn't care about everybody's health and he wants to reopen because he's only focused on the economy, but you care about the person that's struggling or afraid to go to work or afraid to send their kids to school or whatever it is, and you stand in the way between them and getting the next round of stimulus, then you really don't care at all. Because you should be able to put your differences aside if you claim to be the better person. Trump can keep negotiating until he's blue in the face. If he's supposed to be the bad guy, then he's behaving as he should, according to your logic. But why are you holding it up? And she's even been called out on interviews with people who are, you know, I guess liberals or Democrats or whatever, saying, why can't she just come to an agreement? And she gets, you know, she gets offended when they say that, she'll say something like, well, if you want to be on their side, you see how immature and silly that is? It's just not cool. He's the president. Work with him until you get someone else in office. Do everything you can to campaign for the person you want. Do everything you can to help the people while that president that you don't like is in the office. Because again, this reminds me of when Angela Stanton King went on the Breakfast Club and they were giving her a lot of heat about being supportive of Trump. And she said that she's not going to wait until there's another president in the White House for her to help her people right now in whatever way she can. And apparently she's very active in her community and she is helping people and changing lives. And to me, that's the bottom line, no matter who's in office. If Biden is president and you're able to do all the things that you want to do in terms of volunteering or helping others, you're not going to do it because he's not your guy? I don't think so. So I don't know why they can't just, once again, put their pettiness to the side and just work with the man while he's there. And instead, they've been at him from day one and they won't let it rest. And I wish I knew who else sees that besides the conservatives. And I suppose it's a good thing when you see signs out there that say Democrats for Trump. I guess it means that, you know, there are people that are fed up with everything that's going on, that this Democratic Party isn't even what they signed up for or what they're used to, that they have been taken over by radicals, and the independents and the moderates or the centrists, or what, if that's what they're called, or the apolitical people who maybe don't care about Trump or anything like that, but are hardly impressed by Biden. Maybe they see right through Nancy and they think that what she's doing is awful, and maybe she's going to push them to vote Republican. And they're saying now that, you know, between the mail-in voting and the virus and the fact that they're not going to accept the results, we may not know who's president until much later than expected. And there might be an uproar and more riots, or even a civil war for that matter. Gun sales are still shooting up, pun intended, and the background checks, and I've said this before in another episode, are all for first-time gun owners. So people want to protect themselves. They're afraid of what's going on. And literally nowadays, you can get killed if you are a Trump supporter, which is ridiculous and unfortunate, but true. So, but I don't want to end this podcast on a Saturday night on that depressing note. I want to leave it on an upbeat one. And one of the things that I came across recently, which really made my day and was like a complete breath of fresh air, was a song that's out there, you know, to a salsa tune in support of Trump. And there was a YouTube video that was going viral, and it was a Cuban family that I believe is in Miami, and they were singing along the reasons why they are supporting the president and planning to vote for him. And off the top of my head, if I go by memory, it was something like, I'm gonna vote for Donald Trump. But don't take my word for it. I'm gonna put the link in the description so you can see this beautiful family singing their heart out, all the reasons why they want to keep America great again. And on that note, literally, it's time for me to go. So you know what to do. Like, share, and subscribe. It's up to you. Ciao for now.